Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. We have been for a number of weeks. This, by the way, is our 12th week in 2 Peter, chapter 1. And no, I'm not going for a record. It's just that the things that are before us are of such critical importance to the stability of our walk. We have been spending time looking over each of these things. And we've titled this series, God's Prescription for Stumbling. God's Prescription for Stumbling. And this morning, Lord willing, I want to sum it up. In fact, the title of this message is The Sum of It All. And interestingly enough, Peter tells us in this passage of Scripture that we are to be involved in adding things to our faith. Adding, first of all, to our faith, moral excellence. And to moral excellence, we are to add knowledge. We said this was the knowledge specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can also be knowledge in general terms. We are to add to our knowledge self-control, something that is incredibly and increasingly lacking in our society, both in our general society, secular society, and our Christian society. Then we were to add to our self-control patience. We spent 2 weeks on that one. And I am assuming that you are all now patient. We add to our patience godliness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And then to brotherly love, as we talked about last week, agape. Add all of those up. And what have you got? And that is the question, isn't it? What happens when all of those things are added, beginning with our faith? So to answer that question, there are two things that I want us to look at this morning. The first is the provision for this prescription. The provision for this prescription. And then secondly, the purpose of this prescription. First of all, then, the provision for this prescription. Verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So verse 3 tells us that God has provided everything we need. Everything we need pertaining to life, physical life, food, clothing, shelter. Everything that we need pertaining to spiritual life, he calls it godliness. So it is God who provides this prescription for us. In fact, Jesus was called the great physician. So this is fitting that he is the one that provides this prescription for us. Now, one of the favorite choruses that we often sing here at Mayer Community Church is Jehovah Jireh. It's a rousing chorus, and people really get involved in it. And I'm sure that that's not due in any small measure to the way Trish plays that on the piano. In the vernacular of the modern day, that song rocks, okay? But it rocks not just because of the music. It rocks because of the truth that is behind it. Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. In fact, the meaning of Jehovah Jireh is the God who provides. The Jehovah who provides. He provides for us in the physical, and he provides for us in the spiritual realm. Paul testified that it is God who supplies all of our needs. All of them. in the medical world, a difficulty that doctors often have to deal with, is that when they prescribe certain medication, that medication is to be taken as prescribed and until it is gone. Have you ever seen that on the little prescription bottles? You don't take prescriptions? Come on. We're all of an age where we take prescriptions of one type or another, I'm sure. On that bottle, it tells you how many you're to take, how often you're to take them, and you're to take them until the bottle is empty. But what often happens is that people start feeling better, so they quit taking their meds. You can nudge your neighbor with your elbow if you want. And I think the reason for that is that they're hoping that they'll have enough left in the bottle for the next time that they start feeling crummy. They won't have to go to the doctor. They just go back to the prescription. Okay? And inevitably, especially if it's an infection, and the doctor says, take it all, and they've only taken half of it, they're going to end up getting reinfected and having to go back to that prescription. Then they're going to have to go back to the doctor again for a stronger medication. And finally, it will begin to sink in. Take it as prescribed. The purpose of the prescription is to produce a specified result, and it must be taken as prescribed. Otherwise, it will fail to do what it was designed to do. And you've wasted your money, both on the doctor and on the medication. Now, we can look at this as having two parts. God's part is to prescribe and provide the prescription. Our part is to take it as prescribed. And this is a prescription that we will be on for the rest of our lives. There is no point in your Christian walk where you can say, I have now mastered stability. I no longer need the prescription found in 2 Peter. I can walk on my own. Amazing thing begins to happen. You may do fine for a while, but a little ways down the road, you just begin to trip a little bit. Then you begin to stumble. And before long, you are defying what this scripture says is available to you, and you are involved in falling. So the purpose of the prescription is to keep us from falling. In fact, this second point should read the purposes of this prescription, for there are more than one. In fact, there are at least four in this passage of Scripture. First, we know from our studies that these things, when they are taken in their order and they are taken consistently, will keep us from stumbling. The word is quite emphatic about that. Verse 10 says this, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain that about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. As long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. As long as you keep taking this prescription, you will never stumble. As long as you keep adding to your faith moral excellence, and keep on adding to those different things as God has prescribed, you will never stumble. Now, unfortunately for us, there is no popular translation that I have found that captures the full significance of this part of the promise. Almost every translation I have read says you will never stumble, or some say you will never fall. But there are actually three negatives surrounding the word stumble. Three. It goes like this. For as long as you practice these things, you will never, never, never stumble. Think God's trying to make a point? And it's very interesting because three in Scripture is a very special, significant number. Three means unity in strength. What is it that we need to keep from stumbling? Strength. One of the problems that Joe is experiencing, and it's very frustrating for him, is that the strength goes out of his legs. And his legs begin to wobble like rubber bands. And if he's not close to something to grab on, he goes down. What does he need? Strength in his legs. What is it that God is promising us? Strength for our walk. Strength to be able to walk. Not only to be able to walk, but to be able to walk without stumbling. Never, never, never to stumble. That's an awesome promise. Do you remember that Peter started this passage by telling us that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises? And here, in this very prescription, is another precious promise. God says, you take my prescription as I have prescribed, and you will never, never, never stumble. His words in verse 10 tell us that if we practice these things, and that's an important consideration, practice. We are no doubt all aware of the saying, practice makes perfect. Have you ever heard that before? But if not perfect, at least proficient. The more often you're involved in doing something, the better you become at doing it. So the first purpose of this prescription is to guarantee us a stumble-free walk. Whether you're walking in the night or you're walking in the day, whether you're in church or whether you're in the world, a stumble-free walk. A second purpose for this prescription is that it will keep us growing. When something stops growing, it dies. When our cells stop reproducing, we die. And here too, according to verse 8, if these qualities are in you and increasing, that means you go through a cycle, and then you go through a cycle again, and every time you go through the cycle, you're getting stronger. Each time you go through that cycle, you're becoming more mature. That's God's goal for us, to keep us moving forward in our Christian experience and maturity. Now, here's what often happens to Christian people. We're too closely aligned to the world. And when we're out there working in the world, we're looking at a common goal. That day we can retire. And we save for it, we plan for it. And finally the day arrives and we retire. And almost immediately, we start getting on each other's nerves. Almost immediately, we start getting bored. Why? Because you don't find anything in Scripture about retiring. And unfortunately, what a lot of people do in their Christian experience is they retire from their Christian responsibility. And they become very lethargic. And they let the things that they have worked so hard for in their spiritual walk begin to slip. I don't know yet if there's a correlation between more medication prescriptions on the physical end and less on the spiritual, but it wouldn't surprise me. The less you take spiritually, the more you need physically. The Bible says we are wondrously made. We are intricate beings. Our emotions impact our physical, and our physical impacts our emotions, and both of them impact the spiritual, and the spiritual impacts both of those. So we have a responsibility to keep on growing. We don't have the right to retire from Christian service. We don't have the right to no longer be concerned with our personal spiritual growth. And I'm not just talking of those in Christian service who are paid. I'm speaking of all of those who claim to be Christians. We have a responsibility in Christian service, and part of that responsibility is continued spiritual growth. So we come to the third purpose for this prescription. The third purpose is to produce fruit in keeping with our roots. Fruit in keeping with our roots. Verse 8 says this, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's God saying here? He's saying that you have a responsibility to be involved in producing fruit. And perhaps there is no worse feeling than the feeling of being useless. And that, unfortunately, is something that oftentimes happens to the people who are aged in our society. They feel like they're being pushed off to the side and they're useless. And yet you go to the scripture, and these individuals, the older they get, the more valuable their input became. The deeper their walk with God became, the more sought after was their wisdom. The cure for feeling worthless, the cure for feeling useless, is the growth of these qualities in our personal experience. But there's a fourth and a final purpose for this prescription. Our security is linked to our practice of these things. Did you hear that? Your security as a child of God is linked to the practice of these things. Look at verses 10 and 11 a little more closely. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never, never, never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." And actually, the word reads superabundantly supplied. It's like you're on that straight and narrow and you're going through the gates. And here's the picture that comes to my mind. When you're going through those gates, you can go through with an incredible amount of clearance on both sides, even though you're on the straight and narrow. Or you can be staggering, stumbling, hoping you're going to get through the gates. Jesus says you don't need to live that way. You can live with the security, the knowledge, that you can go through those gates with room to spare. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This part of our salvation is our part. It's our responsibility. God's not going to just reach out and grab you kicking and screaming, dragging you through those gates. He wants you to walk through. And he wants you to walk through with room to spare. He wants you to feel and to understand that the security that you are involved in is coming from the practice of the things in the Word of God. Not just from something somebody told you in Sunday school. Not just from something that you believe as a doctrine. But something that you can back up with your own experience. In other words, we can know we are saved with absolute certainty. Not just because of a belief in a doctrine, not just because of belief in the words of select verses, but because our behavior will manifest and reflect that salvation. When your behavior manifests and reflects that salvation, you're in the middle of the road. You are following after. You are walking as Jesus wants you to walk. Because Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." Now, why did he say that? Because he wants your behavior to be a picture for other individuals. "By this," Jesus said, "shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the agape that you have one towards another." That love that we demonstrate one towards another is going to be seen by others. He said they will see our good works. What's that? Our behavior. And what's going to happen as a result of what they see? He said they're going to glorify their Father, which is in heaven. They're not just going to pat you on the back and say, "Good job." They're going to say, "There's something different about this individual. This is what they were like 5 years ago. This is what they were like when I knew them when they were a kid. Something has happened to them. Some dynamic change has taken place, and it's coming through in their behavior." Not only their behavior towards me, but their behavior towards their enemies. By their fruits you shall know them. Now, like all medications, there's a downside. Some people don't want to take medications because they read some of the horrific things that have been stated are going to happen, and they don't even want the remote possibility of that happening to them, so they put their medication bottle on the shelf and just leave it there. But looking at it doesn't do the trick. But when I say that there's a downside, I'm not saying that there's a negative side to taking the medication. What I'm saying is that there is a negative side to not taking the medication. Failure to utilize it, failure to take it all, will result, Scripture says, in spiritual blindness, a spiritual form of Alzheimer's disease. Think about that. If you knew that you were in danger of suffering physically from Alzheimer's, and you knew too that there was a prescription that if you took it, cured the problem, how long would you go? And you're in danger here, because if you go too long, you're just going to forget. Then where are you? Same thing happens spiritually, beloved people. If you go too long without taking God's prescription, pretty soon you just forget. Pretty soon you don't care anymore. Verse 9 says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." If you lack these qualities, Scripture says, you're blind. If you lack these qualities, you have forgotten your purification from your former sins. In other words, progress in the present keeps our past in perspective. Progress in the present will keep your past in perspective. Old sin won't come to haunt us with feelings of guilt. Have you ever been there? You think you're just doing fine in your Christian walk, and all of a sudden something comes up, something has triggered a memory or something, and you're feeling guilty. You feel awful. And you don't feel redeemed anymore. What's happened? You have forgotten that you were purged from that sin. How did that happen? You forgot to take your meds. Not only will old sins not come back to haunt us with feelings of guilt, but they won't be able to lure us back into old ways of living. Why not? Because Scripture says sin does not any longer have power over you. But it only does not have power over you as long as you are taking the prescription. When you fail to take the prescription, sin begins to sweep back in all of its enormity, with its guilt, with its lust, with its death. So there you have it. The sum of it all. God's part, providing this prescription, preparing this prescription. Our part, taking the prescription. May I encourage you, have a great walk. And don't forget your meds.